And welcome back to The Blank Canvas, a show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you are listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. But I do encourage people listening to the show to please go to our website regularly. Go to www.nagb.org.bs. Check out our calendar, because we have so much stuff happening. I'm losing my voice. We have movies, they're free, we have artist talks, we have all kinds of stuff that it's not for pay, you just come and show up. And when we have artists, when we have openings, there's even like refreshments and stuff. So it's really a fun place to hang out. The shows are always free on Sunday, so you can always come and see what's happening in the National Art Gallery on a Sunday. And aside from the National Exhibition, which we're talking about right now, we always have other shows on too. So downstairs we have Hard Mouth, which is a show drawn on works from the Permanent Collection. And the Permanent Collection is what the nation owns. Those are art pieces that people have given us or that we've purchased in order to create a historical record so that in 100 years people will know like what was happening in the Bahamas at that time. And so we have all that too, and so we love people to come and see what the nation owns, see why we think art is important and what it says about us as a culture. So even if you don't want to come see the National Exhibition, you can see other stuff. So please stay involved. And if you want to be on our mailing list, just write to us to info@nagb.org.bs. Put your name on our mailing list and we'll send you a newsletter that says everything that's happening. So you can't be like, oh, I didn't know that was happening. So, you know, just get involved. It's a really great place to hang out. It's safe. It's beautiful. We have interesting conversations. So come on down and do that. We are now going to go back to Kendra Frorup and Jalon Harris, who are two of the artists in the National Exhibition, which I do encourage you to come see. And we were talking just about, so it's kind of interesting because we're all mums here.
Right.
But you're saying that apparently, it's, this idea of wombs not being important is really interesting to me. I'm like, this is the first I'm hearing about it. Is it because of like test tube babies? Is that?
Well, not necessarily. I've seen a few things on Facebook, like where you'd have like this at home incubation thing. You can kind of plop it on a counter and you feed the baby. You feed the baby like this weird sludge material, and it's like, oh, you know, you have the baby without the stress of being pregnant. Like it's like a convenient option. I imagine it's not really affordable to the general public, but
that is so weird.
It is weird. And when I saw it, I was like, that's not right. This isn't right.
But it still involved a mother. I don't want to gender. It involves parents.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, and I believe it's kind of a, what they do is they do some type of fertilization, I guess, in the lab, and then this thing kind of incubates, you know, and then it just really struck me. I'm like, if this is what we're doing.
Well, and that might happen because, again, I was very surprised. I have two daughters. They don't listen to the show. I'm so grateful because I talk about them all the time and they probably hate that I talk about them all the time. But one of them loves kids and loves babies and she's totally always wants to babysit. And so I always told her, I was like, honey, you got to dial that back because you're hanging out at like playgrounds, like checking out people's kids. People are going to start thinking strange things. But the other one announced to me, and she's still very young, so it might change, because I remember when I was young, I thought, like, you know, you see movies with childbirth and you're like, man, I don't want to do that.
Right.
Exactly. And she announced she didn't want to have kids. So I was like, huh. So it's kind of interesting, this idea that, again, I think also women are feeling. And actually, there's a piece in the show that's about that, too. Another artist is speaking about this kind of assumption that you have to procreate.
Right, right.
Do you feel, Kendra, I mean, you're from a different generation. Was that something your parents assumed of you, that, like, you would procreate?
Yes. I mean, it's all in my generation. Yeah. It's almost expected. And if you don't do it sooner than later, then, you know, there are issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I started.
And my dad thought I was a lesbian for the longest time. Like, full on came out and said it in, like, the nicest way, like, because, you know, he's an old Republican dude, so he was trying to kind of find the language to say it and didn't really know how to say it, but obviously wanted to be very loving. And I was like, no, honey, no, daddy, no, just because I cut my hair and I don't have a boyfriend right now, no, it's fine, don't worry. It's okay. But it was, I think, because I didn't have kids till I was older and I didn't get to marry and, yeah.
Yeah, I'm from the generation where career seemed to be the focus. So I waited sooner than later. Regrets, like you said, I'll have grandkids when I'm 80. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but so I waited later to have a child. But I think it was more for career reasons.
Mm-hmm. And is your art ever somehow, like, tied to, because, you know, art's an act of creation, right? So I think that's really interesting too. And for both of you, the question's sort of valid for both of you is sometimes I mean, you now probably, I'm making assumptions, but you're probably not going to have more kids. And you have one, right? You have one daughter. And you have one, but that's just because you're young and you might have more. But who knows? So is the act of creation somehow, I don't want to say a substitute for children, but is it, are they kind of like children in a way?
Oh, yeah, they are. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. I find my daughter's 16, so I find myself in the studio more now because she's not as dependent.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and also she loves the studio, but I find that that is sort of I hope she's not going to listen to this, but sort of taking over some of her time and some of her nurturing sort of.
But I wonder whether some women artists then, you know, because we're talking about the womb becoming like, maybe women who choose art as a path are having that urge to be creative and to kind of produce already taken care of with art. See what I mean?
Yeah, I have to think that through.
You mean like, you know, the, I guess the...
The art becomes...
Well, because
the art becomes...
The art becomes, I mean, you are producing, you are creating, right? And if we are... if we say that as women, there is some kind of fundamental role that we must create... Right. Let's just put that down as a statement, and not that necessarily I believe it or don't believe it. Perhaps for some women, that urge to create is actually comes out in different ways. Like, so it's not in procreation. Maybe.
Definitely, yeah, definitely. That
I never saw it that way, but
I didn't either. I mean, this is why it's nice getting artists in the studio and just chatting, because sometimes you're like, huh, maybe, I don't know.
This is like new.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And again, both of your work deals with, you know, you're in this land. Is that something that inspires you? I mean, Kendra, you speak to, you know, again, like you're away, but you feel kind of you always want to speak to culture and home. And, you know, Shalon, you spoke to like looking specifically for elements that come from our landscape. Do you feel like you're inspired by the landscape or like by our...
Oh, most definitely. And, you know, I thought that having a three-month residency, and that's sort of the longest period I've been home in a, you know, one time for a long time, and so I thought that my work might change, that I might realize that it's not about culture, but I thought it actually became even stronger. You know, I saw things differently. There's a shift. I feel a slight shift, but it's very influenced by culture. It's very influenced by being home and the environment and things around, and politics and, you know, social dialogue. That's changing here, too, in a surprising way, in a good way, in a positive way. And so my work is sort of changing and speaking
to
that.
And what do you think is changing in a positive way, out of curiosity? I mean, I think there's positive change, too, but... Because the thing is, we're old enough to remember how it was. That's the problem. I think lots of younger people are like, oh, this is still so sucky and we have to change. And I'm always like, it is, but y'all got to remember that 30 years ago, it was like this, you know?
Exactly,
and so
yeah.
I'm seeing that change. And
well, I think our social conversation is different, and we're not, as a culture, we're not afraid to be involved with the hard topics. Please go to see the exhibit.
Yeah.
When you look at the exhibit, there's some really tough topics.
Yeah,
there are.
You know, there's some conversation there.
Yeah.
And so I think as a culture, we're not afraid of that anymore. I think how I see the Bahamas is shifting. It's not just, and this is a cliche, but you know, the sun and coconuts and you know, beach and you know, it's changed from that. You know, it's changed from this homey child life that I remember into something so much stronger and richer.
Mm-hmm. It's great you see it that way, because I think a lot of people are, again, I mean, there is, and I'm the worst to do that too. I'm like, oh, I remember when this place was all, you know, like, oh, back in the day, you know, and I have to remember, like, I have to stop saying that. My kids tease me, oh, it was all bush. And I'm like, because we still have the family islands. And I think that's the important thing, is that we make sure, I think that's the problem we have right now, is that we're not caring for the family islands enough.
Definitely.
So we're losing our culture there, because that's where it can be preserved, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we have to accept that New Providence is going to be modern, it's going to change, it's going to be contemporary. And because it's a city. You know, if we want to be a first world nation, which apparently we want to be, or we say we are, or whatever, and with this many people, and this, you know, it's a city. It's a global, it's a capital city, and you can't expect that to still be all like, oh, we're going to leave our doors unlocked and we're going to all,
no,
you know, that's just you know, exactly. Any city in the world. I'm sorry, like, and I'm not downplaying the crime situation. It's bad, but listen, I've had my handbag stolen in Madrid. I've had my house broken into in New York. I'm like, any kind of major city has that happen. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to preserve our heritage.
Definitely.
And that kind of culture, that kind of old culture in the Family Islands. But again, this evolution is also a good thing. So
it is. Yeah.
And you're right. The NE does deal with some hard topics.
There are some hard topics. Yeah. And it's refreshing to see that, especially I'm in academia. And so I see it in my classroom. And this is the first time I'm really seeing and feeling it here in the Bahamas. And that's refreshing that's great. Big enough to deal with it.
Yeah, and there's also been a change because a couple times now, I mean, it's not the first show that's had some sort of, you know, difficult pieces in it or whatever, but I did that show Funky Nassau in 2006.
It's one of my favorites.
Thank you so much. And I did that, we curated that for Germany, right? We curated that for Bahamian artists in Germany, but then it came to the National Art Gallery. And I didn't know this because I wasn't living here at the time, but apparently it caused quite a lot of controversy because people were like canceling their memberships. Apparently that's what I heard, because it was like not all kind of beautiful landscape paintings. Mm. And because there was some heavy stuff in there, right? And there was one art piece by Clive Stewart had commodes like from a toilet in it. Mm-hmm. And it was actually talking about the Iraq War and like oil going down the drain or whatever. But people were like really incensed that there was like a toilet in the National Art Gallery.
Oh, wow.
Apparently, yeah. I mean, again, I only actually learned this recently. Yeah. I was like, oh, you don't remember? And I was like, I wasn't living here. Like, I don't know. So actually, I'm kind of surprised that actually every time we do something slightly controversial, I'm like, where's all the outrage? But I think it's because, like you said, I think there's been an evolution. And so we can speak about topics like some of the topics in the show are about, you know, surviving rape.
Yeah, we can talk about the elephant in the room.
Or speaking very frankly about our history and not pretending it wasn't all peachy keen and, you know, or whatever. Because, you know, there's that nostalgia tends to do that too. I'm obviously not talking about the slavery period, but like there's this thing of like, oh, and you know, people of all color do it, right? Oh, the 50s. Oh, back then.
I remember when
we could do this. Remember we could do that. And I'm always like, wasn't actually that awesome for everybody. Yeah. We just have to remember. And I think that, you know, so I think we're getting more mature.
Yes.
About being able to
be able to address it.
Do you feel that? I mean, again, like I keep referring to you as the young person in the room, and you're probably, like, I don't know how old you are. You're probably like a well-grown up woman. You're a mother, and you're like, but you know, we're just two old ladies here. So in your generation, how's the feeling about like that show to your friends and community? Is that something that then they're like, yeah, this is normal?
Yeah, I think we always tend to push the envelope just in our daily lives and, you know, I guess talking about certain subjects that weren't addressed before, like going back to, I guess, the male toxicity, like that wasn't really a phrase until, you know, so we always try to point out what things have I guess, affected us growing up. Like we try to identify our traumas and how that makes us like react to people and stuff like that. Like we're really getting into some self exploratory stuff. So I think the show was well received from my peers, and you know, it started a conversation and it became a thing on social media where we kept talking about it, and it was pretty powerful.
Good, so, great. Yeah, no, it's true, because I think that's kind of the next step, right, in a cultural evolution.
Yeah.
Is, I mean, it's a step for any grown, we just did it as an institution, so we just had a review from an outside HR, like they came in, they interviewed all our staff, like they looked at how we operated, you know, pointed out the places we could do better, you know, and it's kind of like there's this growing moment where, you know, and I think as a human you do that too, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you grow up, you have your ways of behaving as a teenager and a young adult that you learned as a way, sometimes a way to protect yourself, but then when you grow up you're like, okay, I have to deal with this now. Mm-hmm. Like I can't keep
and
a lot of that is about dealing with, you know, sometimes it's really a full-on trauma, and sometimes it's just like, again, like every family has it, some, you know, as a grown-up, you just have to finally say, okay, I'm taking responsibility for this action. I have to grow. Yeah. I can't keep saying, oh, I'm that way because my mom was into me. Or, I'm that way because at school, they, whatever. You know, you have to say, okay, I'm taking responsibility now. Mm-hmm. I have to look in the mirror. I have to look at my flaws. Mm-hmm. And I have to figure out what those are. And I have to work on them.
Right.
And that's the only way you have a healthy relationship. That's the only way you have a great partnership with anyone, a colleague at work or a personal relationship. And I think as an institution, it's the only way you can, like, serve your people, too.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that you kind of, you know, say that, that sort of that's what you're doing in your work. And I think in a way that that's what reflects the show, and that's kind of what we want to do as an institution, mm-hmm. is to sort of help the nation grow.
Yeah.
And that's why we have those difficult conversations. Sometimes they are super uncomfortable.
They are.
But necessary.
Because if you're just always like, look, it's so pretty here.
Yeah, no.
Look at this nice palm tree art. Right, and again, yeah. And I want to say very clearly, that doesn't mean that the artists making work that are just about how beautiful the country is, that does not mean that that's bad work. It doesn't mean that I'm saying that work's not valuable, mm-hmm. At all. It's the same way as, like, you know, I want pictures of myself where I look awesome, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I want to, and I'm going to put those all over the house. But I also have to do that work where, yeah. I look at the parts of myself that aren't great, yeah. mm-hmm. to be a better human, right?
Definitely.
So I want to say that, because I think a lot of more traditional artists very often say, like, oh, so that, does that mean, is our work obsolete? Do you not want to? No, not at all.
Just be open-minded.
Be open-minded, and let's. So I think it's great that you're saying that's kind of what, you know, Jalan, your kind of age group and community are trying to do, because I think that artwork then helps us.
Yes.
And even us. All folks can still. We bring in our mature.
Yes, there you go.
Exactly. We bring in our mature.
Mature girls.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We bring in our mature point of view on the conversation. Are you going to come back and spend more time here, Kendra?
Well,
after your 3 month residency?
Let's say that when I left home this time, my daughter said, Are you living there now? Are you moving back? Yes. This is always home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to come back as much as I can.
Yeah.
I feed from this.
Yeah. That's great. Well, we got to invite you more.
Yes, please.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. So that listen, I really want to thank you both for being on the show tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Amanda,
for having us.
I want to thank you for the work you made for the exhibition.
Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, no, it's really wonderful. And I really encourage everyone listening to come and see the show, because it's really, again, there's very beautiful moments. There's some work that is just beautiful, and we love things that are just beautiful. Not everything has to have, like, a super deep message. But in this show, everything pretty much does, even the beautiful stuff. But again, we have other shows on always in the PS space, which is our project space on the lower floor. And we do, sometimes we do small group shows in there. We're going to be doing another open call. So all of you artists out there, I know that we had a great feedback to the Potcake show that we did last year.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, it was great. We're going to do another open call. We want to meet new artists. We want to have other artists in the community working, so that we have things like that in the PS room. And we're always kind of working with younger artists, or artists that, you know, we're trying to support. We have the permanent exhibition on the ground floor, which is right now, it's called Hard Mouth, and it's all about kind of the Bahamian vernacular. And it's a great name. It's about the way we speak and also the way we paint or make art. Mm-hmm. And so it's a great show for schools. It's a great show for an introduction into Bahamian art. And then, of course, we have the National Exhibition upstairs. And those shows change over. Sometimes people are like, oh, yeah, I've been to the gallery. I went there a couple years ago. And I say, have you been back since? And, oh, is there something different to see? Yes, people, there is something different all the time. We change shows 3-4 times a year. The permanent exhibition stays up for a year, but then upstairs we have other things turning over. The PS is turning over. There is so much happening at your National Art Gallery. It is yours. It belongs to you. You need to get involved. You need to come and look at work and meet artists and hang out and bring your kids. It's an awesome place. So please do that. We're open from Tuesday to Sunday, 10 to 5 every day, except Sunday is noon to 5. And on Sundays, it is free. Mm-hmm. And on the fourth Sunday of every month, there is a free tour as well. So if you're not sure you'd understand all the stuff we're talking about, mm-hmm. sometimes there's more to the work, yes. than just, if you're like, hey, I'd love to have someone tell me about all this stuff that maybe I wouldn't have known if I'd looked at it, then come on a fourth Sunday. We have free tour guides that are there to answer all your questions and give you a tour. So that's been us tonight. So again, thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Thank you, Bahamas, for listening. You've been listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you've been listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Thank you so very much for listening. Have a good evening and good night.